And I picked a subject that I don't think I've ever heard a lesson on, and that's Jonah. Maybe I've had classes on it, but I don't know that I've ever heard a lesson on Jonah. And if you think about Jonah, there's so much to the story, so much to the whole theme of the story, and so many things to say about it. But as you think about it, we normally just think, Jonah, oh, he's a man that fish swallowed. And that's basically what we, you know, about all we ever think about. Well, there's a lot more to that. Do you know about Jonah? He was a minor prophet. 2 Kings 14:25 said Jonah was a son of Amittai. It says that in Jonah also. A prophet who was from Gath-Heber in the territory of Zebulun in northern Israel. So he was a minor prophet in northern Israel. As you look at Jonah, the book of Jonah shows God's concern. God's always been concerned about everybody. He wants everybody to repent and change and come to the Lord, and he always has. But mankind, you'd never believe that the way everybody acts or the world acts, that anybody would hardly come to that conclusion that they don't want to obey God. They just don't want to. But old Jonah had something happen to him when he was told the Lord, and the first four verses of Jonah. But I'm not going to quite get there yet. But we'll read most of Jonah. But as you look at what leads up to Jonah, you can see somebody. He's been called the angry prophet, the mad prophet. And when God told him to do something, and he didn't listen very good, we don't listen either. We got this word right here. God spoke to us, and we just ignore it. I mean, we half-heartedly sometimes. But listen, we better get our act together, because when this life is over, it's too late to do anything about the life we live. But as you look at Jonah and think about Jonah, and you see that. In the book of Jonah, there's only God and Jonah mentioned. And that's kind of an unusual from that standpoint. No other names has been named. And I thought that was kind of interesting. But as you look at that, you look at Jonah. Now, I want to talk about Nineveh. What do we know about Nineveh? The great city. The great city. And it's a long walk for Jonah. It's 500-600 miles. But let me read about Nineveh. Nineveh was a Gentile nation, a major city of the Assyrians, a cruel, warlike people, longtime enemies of Israel. Their artwork emphasized war, execution, impalement, flaying of skin off a prisoner, beheading. A great, wicked city. It was supposedly started by Nimrod, and mentioned in Genesis 10, the great-great-grandson of Noah. And the fact is, it was 500 or 600 miles from where Jonah was at. Now, when Jonah, you think about back then, you couldn't get in your car and go anywhere. You might not even got a camel. I don't know if he had to walk or what he had to do, but 500 or 600 miles is a long walk. So when Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, what does he do? He kind of humps up and he said, here's what he says. This is what Jonah said. Lord, read this. Now Jonah arose when he was told to go to the great city and cried against it in chapter 1, verse 2. Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish. Now what do we know about Tarshish? Tarshish is up near Spain, 2,000 miles away, up on the Guadalajara River. So he went to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, paid his fare, and went down into it to go to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Well, he already knew there was going to be a problem, because the Lord told him to go that way, and he went this way. He told him to go right, and you go left. Well, in that case, I'm not sure if it was right or left, but he was going to go right, or he was going to get left. There's a joke about that, going right, or you're going to go right, or you get left. But the fact is, it's a true statement. So what does he do? He's just in that ship. He go down in the hull and go sleep. But he paid his fare and all this kind of stuff. So they're out in the water, in the ship, going to Tarshish, trying to hide from God. Did you ever try to hide from God? You ever tried to hide from God? Any of y'all? Don't raise your hand, but the way we act sometimes, we try to hide from God. Lord sent a great wind in verse 4. There was a mighty tempest on the sea, and the ship was about to be broken up. The mariners were afraid. I'd be afraid I've been out on Kobe's big old boat, and it got pretty rocking out there, and it scared me. I can't imagine being on a big ship, although I don't know how big the ships was back then. In the harbor of Barcelona, there's the replica of the Santa Maria ship, which probably wasn't as long as this building right here. And so we don't know how big the ships was. But the fact was, it was a ship that was shipping goods. The mariners were afraid when the ship was about to be broken up. They were afraid, and every man cried out, "His God." Now remember, these are Gentile, pagan Gentile. Heathenistic, I'm sure there was a rough crew being on ship. They threw the cargo into the ship, from the ship into the ocean, because they wanted to lighten the load. Well, old Jonah had gone down in the bottom to sleep. I mean, he wasn't worried about anything. He'd done paid his fare, and so he was going down the lower parts of the ship to sleep. The captain called him Sleeper. He went down again and said, "Sleeper, arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us that we won't perish." I'm going to tell you, that's quite a statement. They said, "Come on, let's cast lots that we may know whose trouble has caused come upon us." So they cast lots, and it fell on Jonah. Naturally, it fell on Jonah. He was the one that caused the problem. And they said to him, "Please tell us, what's the cause of the trouble? What's your occupation? What do you do? What's your country? Whose people are you?" He said, "I'm a Hebrew. I fear God, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." The men were exceedingly afraid. I would imagine I'd have sure been afraid. "What have you done?" They obviously were smart enough to know he had done something, or they wouldn't have been in the fix like this. Because obviously, maybe they hadn't gone very far. I don't know. It doesn't say. But the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord. You can't flee from the presence of the Lord. You can't hide from the presence of the Lord. He knows where you're at, because he had told them. "Well, what shall we do with you that the sea may be calm?" Because here the sea is going to sink the ship if something don't happen. And you know, Jonah told them, said, "Pick me up, toss me into the sea, and the sea will be calm." And they didn't want to do that, because here was a human life. And even as heathen as they were, or pagan as they were, they didn't want to just kill the man. Nevertheless, it said, the men rowed hard to return to land. But they could not, because the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord," they're praying to God, "please do not let us perish for this man's life. Don't charge us with his innocent blood, O Lord. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So when Jonah had done told them, they got to throw him in the ocean. What did they do? They picked him up and threw him in the sea. And the sea ceased to rage. Now, at that point there, can you imagine what these men thought? And any of us would say to say, "I've seen a miracle here. I know that this is really something." But look here. The men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vow. We know what it says about the fear of the Lord at the beginning of wisdom. We know that. It says that. But look what the Lord had done for Jonah. Now, Jonah didn't know he was going to get swallowed by a fish. He didn't know he was going to be fish bait. The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and nights. Now, he was trying to hide from God, but God knew he was there. And can you imagine? Now, this is the influence of one person. One person. And look what happened to him. He's tried to hide from God. He tried to take a ride in that ship, and it didn't last very long before he's tossed in the water. There ain't one thing left for Jonah to do is Jonah better start praying. And when he's praying from the fish's belly. And we've all looked through every bit of this right here. But it says, I cried out to the Lord in verse 2 because of my affliction, and he answered me. Now, we know that if he's going to be in the belly of that fish a long time, the Lord has prepared some means, because mankind come along and say, now, there ain't no way in the world you can live in a fish. You can't live in a fish that long. Well, there's no fish going to be able to swallow you. But don't forget, God prepared this fish. He prepared this to save Jonah. And it woke Jonah up. I'd wake up too if I was in the belly of a fish and live long enough. Good. But you look at just some highlights of this chapter 2. I'll just look at the weeds wrapped around my head in verse 5. It went to the mooring of the mountain, the very bottom of the mountains. It went out to the sea. The earth and its bars closed behind me forever. But you have bought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. I imagine he remembered the Lord well when they was tossing him into the sea, and he thought he was going to die in all the waves out there. Or maybe he did believe that the Lord would save him, but he did. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you and to your holy temple. You know, we got to be a praying people. We got to be a people that changed, that changes our ways. We've done so much in our life against God, and God can save us, and God has spared every one of us his life up to this time. But let me continue with verse 8 and 9. Those who regard worthless idols forsook my own mercy, forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is in the Lord. That's what Jonah says. Because he's praying to the God. He believes God's going to save him now. Because he spent 3 days and nights in the belly of that fish. Now, you ask how? I'm not going to ask how. God provided a way for Jonah. Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah on dry land. But I want to talk about some points about this. If you look at just these two first two chapters, Jonah's disobedience, the Lord calls, Jonah rebels, the Lord sends a storm, the sailors intervene, pagan sailors intervene, the Lord sends a fish. Now, old Jonah thought he was a goner when he tossed me in the sea. But the Lord delivered Jonah. The Lord spoke to the fish. Now, we hear all kinds of things in the scriptures about people talking, you know, animals talking and all this here. But here the Lord talked to that fish, spoke to that fish. The word of the Lord came to Jonah again. Now, I imagine when Jonah was in there, now, they as many, many things went through this man's mind. He's wrapped around seaweeds and all this kind of stuff, and he's in a confined area he can't get out of until the Lord gets him out of that fix. And he's in there enough time that he's a changed man. I'd be a changed man long before that, too, if we ever run into a situation like that. And hope and pray we don't ever get swallowed by a fish. But has any of us been given a second chance to live? I've been given a second chance to live. And I know a lot of us have suffered a lot of things. It's caused a lot of despair and a lot of agony and a lot of sickness. And we've been spared. I've been spared. I've been given a second chance. And I'm so thankful to the good Lord for that. That gives me the ability to maybe influence somebody else. Because I'm happy to have life. I'm happy that Jesus died for me. I'm happy to be able to do this, no matter how hard it is for the average person to maybe stand up and give a talk. But I can look at all this that went on, and it leads to a story. Because when you compare Jonah being in the belly of the fish, Jesus Christ talks about this here. Jesus Christ compares this right here. And I'll get into that. So the word of the Lord talked to Jonah again. He called Jonah. It came to Jonah the second time. Arise and go to the city. Preach the message I tell you. So this time he went. But he had a long walk, 500-600 miles. And I tell you, don't know if he had a ride or not, but the matter of fact is he had a long time to think about it, because he had to cry to Nineveh 40 days. They need to repent, or the city's going to be destroyed. And Jonah had a long way to go. But I want you to think about this. I want you to think about what happened in Acts 9. Because remember, Jonah was a chosen vessel to the Gentiles. Now, I want to go to Acts, and I'm going to read Paul's story. And now, we're going to read quite a bit of this. I have this marked somewhere in this, Acts 9. Okay. Nope. There's Acts 9. Okay. Acts 9, and we got to read this in this story. As you look what happened to Paul, when Paul was told, and we got to read this story, Paul was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord in Acts 9, verse 1. He asked for a letter to the synagogue of Damascus to see if he found any who were in the way, whether men or women might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He journeyed near Damascus, and suddenly a bright light shone around him from heaven. He fell to the ground, heard a voice say, "Paul, Paul," or "Saul, Saul, why are you prosecuting me?" She said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus, whom you persecuted. It is hard for you to kick against the goats." He was trembling and astonished and said, "What do you want me to do? Go to Damascus, go to the city, and it'll be told you what you must do." Paul was blinded. He was led to the city. Ananias had to go to him. The Lord told him, said, go to Ananias. You know, in verse 13, it said, Ananias said, "Lord, I've heard about this man. This man is a bad man. How much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. Here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But here's what the Lord said. "Go, for he is a chosen vessel to bear my name before Gentile kings and the children of Israel. And I show him how many things he must suffer for my sake." It just made me think about, now here's a man that was told to go. And you know, when Paul was baptized, and he went right straight to work. Now, there's very few people probably that can go right from becoming a Christian to teaching the gospel. But maybe they are if you're a studious person. But here's one. I just wanted to compare that, because here Jonah was a prophet to the Gentiles. And here Paul was strictly a teacher. He was a teacher of the Gentiles and certainly the rest of the Hebrew crew too. But primarily he was sent to the Gentile nation. And we look at stuff like that, and it said no matter what we do, we gotta repent, we've got to make a change in our life. We can lollygag around here and do all kind of things and never make a change in our life that we need to make. But we know that we have to make a change in our life. And I want to just read one little thing from 2 Peter. And we studied this morning, 2 Peter 3. Let me get to my page here. It says, "The Lord is," in verse 9, "the Lord is not slack concerning his promise." Now see, he promised what he promised thousands of years ago. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." And see, it was God's will all the time that everybody be saved, but you had all the other nations that fought against Israel back then, and certainly we have nation against nation right to this very time. But you can see from the beginning of time, you've had wars, rumors of wars, and you'll always have it, and you'll have nation against nation. Now here you had Jonah that didn't want to go preach, and he'd rather have been gone on a ship ride and gone somewhere else and maybe, you know, but you see, there's no way of escaping from the Lord. There's no way. You can do whatever you want to. You're not going to get away from the Lord. He knows where we're at. He knows what we're doing. How many times did the children of Israel test God? But we do the same thing today. We test God. You know we do. Every one of us probably tests God at times. I'm sorry for that. But it says in Luke 15, if you come to the Lord, it said, I say to you, there is more joy in heaven over the presence of angels of God over the sinner who repents. So see, the Lord was happy for them people to repent, and they made a change. He didn't destroy Nineveh because they repented. And we need to do the same thing. We need to repent and change our ways. And as you look at all this here, back to chapter 3. So Jonah goes to Nineveh. He preaches to them. And just real soon, I don't know how long, but because it doesn't say anything about his trip, it just said the Lord said, go, and he went. So it goes right into Jonah rose and went to Nineveh this time. According to the word of the Lord, Nineveh was a great big city of 120,000 people or thereabout. He entered the city on the first day's walk. He cried out, in 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. The people at Nineveh, look what they've done. They're really heathen, paganistic Gentiles. It says, people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least. Wow. The word came to the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne, laid aside his robe, put himself in sackcloth and ashes. He caused it to be proclaimed that, published throughout Nineveh by a decree of the king, saying, let not man or beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not eat or drink water. Let every man or beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mighty to the God. Let everyone turn from his evil ways and violence that is in his hand. And you know, look at what I just read. They were such a wicked people. They didn't care who they killed. They filleted and done all kinds of things to people. And who can tell if God will turn away and relent from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? I'm going to tell you something. We're going to perish if we don't turn from our wicked ways and turn to the Lord. But look what verse 10, it said, God saw their works, they turned from their evil ways, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon him. He did not do it. Now look what happened to Jonah. You know what it made Jonah do? He got mad. Didn't like it. He got mad, displeased him exceedingly, and he became angry. The Bible tells us to be angry and sin not. Maybe he didn't sin from being angry, but the fact is, Jonah didn't like it. The Lord said, he prayed to the Lord and said, oh, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my country before I fled previously to Tarshish? For I know that you're a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Wow. Therefore, O Lord, he's mad. Please take my life. It's better for me to die than live. So he was mad because the people repented. After going through all the ordeal of trying to drown, taking that big ship ride and all that, walking, and now he's complaining because the people, and mad because the people repented. That says we'll repent or we'll likewise perish. And, you know, when you look at what God done for people, and you look what he's done for these people. Now, the city was destroyed about 150 years later, but at that time, the city was spared. And the Lord said, it is right for you to be angry, in verse 4. Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city and made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade. to see what might become of the city, because he had to wait 40 days to see if the city was going to be destroyed or going to be spared. Well, God prepared a plant and made it come over Jonah that it might be shade for his head and delivered him from his misery. Well, I like that big old hat over me too when I'm outside. Jonah was very grateful for the plant. When the morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. And it damaged the plant so it withered. And it happened when the sun rose up, God prepared a vehement wind, east wind, beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And he wished to die. And he said, it is better for me to die. You know, he done said two times right there he wanted to die. Why? Because he was mad. He was mad. Mad because God spared the city. Jonah, God said to Jonah, is it right for you? Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry even unto death. Talked about dying three times. Lord said, you have had pity on a plant for which you had not labored, nor made it grow, which come up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city where more than 120,000 people who cannot discern between their right and their left, and much livestock. So, see, this ends actually the story of Jonah right there. So if you look at that right there, Jonah's angry at God, 1 through 11. God displeases Jonah, 1 through 5. Jonah displeases the Lord, 6 and 10 through 10. The Lord shows great pity, 4, 11. So as you look at this right here, this little sermon, Jonah tried to hide from God. Pagan Gentile sailors feared God, offered sacrifices and vows, and changed their lives. Jonah tried to flee from the mission. He intentionally converted the whole crew of the Gentile sailors. Jonah had done as the Lord commanded, I won't read that. Jonah and the Lord, as you look at just these few little items here, God and Jonah are mentioned in Jonah. You have the wind, the storm, the sea, dry land, and the fish, first part. Then you have man, beast, herd, flock, plant, worms, and sun in the second. And you have God saying, should I not pity Nineveh? And you know he spared it. Psalms 110 said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. So you see, these people had a fear of the Lord. And that's how you got to look at it. The sailors, they obviously, all this thing on the ship, they grew to fear the Lord. And these people at Nineveh feared the Lord. Do we fear the Lord? Do we? We're here, but do we have a fear of the God? Do we stand in awe? Because God's a merciful God. But I'm going to tell you, see what one person can do? One person. This is the one person, Brother Cousins, I was telling you about. I had a sermon about the influence of one person. And you can say what one person, look, he saved a ship full of people because of obedience. He saved a city. But this is all with God's help, because God is the one that spared them. As you look at this right here, now I'm going to turn back to Acts, and I'm going to go back to Acts 22. Paul is telling his story about his conversion. Paul was a great servant of God. He was a Hebrew. He was a Jew born in Tarsus, of Sicily, brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous towards God, as he's talking to the people, as they were today. Down in verse 14 of chapter 22, Paul said, the God of our fathers hath chose you that you should know his will, and he's telling his story, and hear the voice of his mouth. Paul had to make a change. He had to repent. He was literally killing people. And he had to make a great change. He was witness to, he was persecuting all the Christians, held the cloak when Stephen was stoned. But you know what? He made a change in his life. We all make a change in our life, but we can't just say, okay, Lord, I accept what you tell me to do, but you got to listen to this right here. We know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He said in verse 14, Paul said, the Lord God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be a witness to all men what you've seen and heard. Now, why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sin, calling on the name of the Lord. We talked about it in our class. I'm not saying this. The scripture's saying this. As you look at this right here, and you can look at the apostle to the Gentiles, and you can look at the prophet to the Gentiles. And I think there's a little bit of parallel because they both went through an awful lot, and they both accomplished an awful lot. And I would say, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. If there's anything we can do for you, come as we stand and sing the invitation song.